going. Hey there, you are listening to Acorn Radio, where radio meets justice. My name is Ashley Rhines. I'm the head organizer of the Ottawa Acorn office. And today we are in Mississauga at the new organizer staff training, talking about elements of a successful campaign. So first, you know, we're going to talk about, you know, the first step is, you know, how do we work with leaders on, you know, choosing issues for campaigns. So I think this group has already talked about in our earlier trainings how we can come up with good issues. So what are kind of, you know, three elements of a good issue, folks?
Is it winnable?
Is it going to help the organization grow?
Mm-hmm. So does it affect a lot of people?
Is it visible?
Awesome. So other parts of, you know, choosing issues is also how you cut or define the issue. So as this document that, you know, we're reading right now, listeners, is called Elements of a Successful Campaign by Meg Campbell. And she talks about how there are three issues or three objectives with cutting the issue. What are some of those? Organizers.
To develop collective perceptions of specific problems and translate them into broader objectives.
Nasha, what's the second one?
Developing a strategy.
So we're on the first page. Cutting the issue.
So giving the issue an aura of legitimacy in the eyes of both the membership and the target.
Mm-hmm. Maybe Felix, what's the third one?
To politicize the issue, to emphasize the disparity between the powerful and the powerless, the haves and the have-nots. For example, Acorn defined its fight for lifeline affordable utility rates for low-income customers, not just in terms of relief for the poor, but also in terms of making industry pay rates similar to what the poor pay, rather than the steeply discounted rates they were getting.
Yeah, no, that's a great example, Felix. I think if you move on to the second page, too, you know, research and analysis is, we skipped one, did we?
Well, I was just wondering, do we want to talk a bit about the first issue, the first, like, cutting the issue? Like, mm-hmm. What do people... do people have any thoughts or like experience in trying to like, you know, define the issue as like you're developing like a local campaign?
Well, we're having trouble right now. Affordable.
Sorry, what was that, Olivia?
So the Mountain chapter is trying to determine how we define or what the goal would be for affordable housing. It definitely affects a lot of people. But, you know, there's not a lot of new development happening, so we're not sure, like, what the policy ask would be.
Right. You know, like, so, for example, when we first launched our landlord licensing campaign in Toronto, you know, we had a pushback from the landlord lobby, right? Because landlord licensing sounds like something that they might not want. So then at one point, then we redefined it as, like, healthy homes, even though it was exactly the same campaign, because, like, how can you argue against healthy homes? Everyone deserves to have a healthy home. So, like, that's just one example of, like, sometimes you, like, depending on who you're talking to, you, like, maybe redefine, like, the campaign so that it works to, you know, move, like, an external audience, for example.
Right. So I did skip one before, which is developing a strategy. So like Meg Campbell is saying, you know, the issue doesn't make or break a campaign. It's, you know, what you do with that issue, right? So like depending on the issue, you might want to use like different tactics, for example. Does anyone have like an example that they would want to share in a campaign that they've like worked on or know of? So it's like, for example, if you have like using a housing campaign that's like very local, like what would be like a strategy versus maybe something that has like a national focus?
We're doing an anti-gentrification rally in Western Road pretty soon, and basically real estate developers there are buying up everything and tearing it down and replacing it with units that are unaffordable for the local people. And one of the members asked me, why aren't we doing this at the headquarters of the developers immediately? And I said, you know, that's a good question. It's a great idea. And we very well might do that in the future. but you have to build up to that, I think, right? And sometimes it's good to, like, you can kind of micro, like, issue first and then build up from there. And then so if we were, instead of targeting the property management firm, trying to get, like, some government legislation passed or something, then it can still start in the same way, like, just, like, on that block, on that street that's being affected, and then once you get people's attention there, then you can take it to whatever, the Queen's Park or to the headquarters of some company.
That campaign, like this action that you guys are doing, is a really good example of having the issue, right? Because I think the demand is around community benefits agreements, right? So, but it's not like what, like, we're calling it like an anti-gentrification rally. We're not calling it a community benefits rally, just because, you know, there's obviously some discussion with, like, the leadership and the staff that that would, like, attract more people to come out to the actual event. But the demand is actually, like, very specifically around trying to get community benefits with these developments, so.
So, yeah, in terms of, like, next steps and campaigns as well, you know, around research and analysis, I mean, organizers, you know, don't have to be, like, policy wonks, right? It's like, you know, we don't have to have, like, you know, research backgrounds. I certainly didn't before I became an organizer, but there are things, you know, when you're developing a campaign with, like, members that you should know. So, for example, when I started taking up the landlord licensing campaign in Ottawa, you know, I had no idea, like, what committees landlord licensing would have to go through before it could be passed by city council. So that was, like, research that I had to do, you know, once I found out, you know, landlord licensing would have to go through Community Protective Services Committee. You know, I looked into what city councilors sit on those committees and what has been their, you know, relationship with ACORN in the past. Have they been, you know, supportive, unsupportive? You know, what are their views on, like, housing rights, for example? You know, finding out who the other players in the game are, right? You know, are there other housing advocates in the, you know, in the city, for example, that we could work with? You know, what kind of other research do you think we would have to do into forming, like, a new campaign? So you got to find out, like, who your decision makers are, allies.
In the, like, child campaign, fairly new. I think a lot of research was done. We're here in Ontario, but Quebec has a really robust child care system. I think we, like, looked to that quite a bit for ideas on how to form our campaign and what our demands would be, what the system could actually look like.
Mm-hmm. And we found a statistic from that that ended up being really useful when discussing it with people at the door, because what is it? It was like within 6 months or a year, I think, of the affordable child care program being put in place, over half of single female welfare recipients stopped taking welfare because now they were able to, you know, because they had somewhere to watch their kids, so they were able to go and work. And just, like, something like that, a really good, solid stat demonstrating the effectiveness of something, some like that, you know, a previous result is really good to just have up your sleeve, just little simple bits of information like that.
Mm-hmm. Judy, it looked like you were going to say something.
Well, I was going to say, you know, like, the simplest way, like, to, like, break down a campaign, I'll take this with me, is, you know, these are our demands. Here's our target. And then, you know, this is our group of members trying to, you know, get the target to do what our demands want. But you really need to make sure you have, like, you know, the right target. Because, you know, so a lot of issues that we work on are multi-jurisdictional. Like, housing's, like, a perfect example. Like, fines are provincial, but fees are municipal. And, you know, you want to have the right target with the demand. So doing a bit of research and working with allies can be really good, people to help out with research. So to make sure that you actually are, you know, fighting for something that kind of makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then there's kind of, like, different types of targets, too. You know, you can have, like, a primary target, which is, like, the decision maker or like institution that is like directly responsible for like the problem or has the ability to, you know, create the change that our members want to see. Or you can also have secondary targets, which, you know, might not have, you know, direct control over that issue, but they can influence the primary target to, you know, make these changes. So if you use, again, I think like housing again is just a very easy example, but if there's like a bad building in one of our neighborhoods and members want a campaign to, you know, like spray the whole building, you know, for bed bugs, like who would be the primary target and who could be like a secondary?
We had something like this very recently come up in Toronto where the CEO of the property management firm that has not been treating the tenants well in their building also sits on one of the boards at a hospital in the city. So we were thinking, we didn't end up actually choosing that option, but that the hospital could be a good secondary target.
They wanted to show up at the board meeting, right? That was the
at
idea?
At the hospital.
Yeah,
at the board meeting that he, like the board that he sits on. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it,
that's interesting.
Yeah, but we didn't do it.
We didn't end up doing it. We ended up going to the headquarters of the property management firm instead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting. I mean, there's also like symbolic targets too, you know, that are institutions, buildings, associations. I think of one example was on our like social assistance campaign. Just because like we were doing, our members were doing like these monthly actions outside of the Ministry of Social Services on Preston Street, and then members were like, well, we want to do something different, but there's not like a ton of targets, you know, for like a provincial campaign in Ottawa. So they decided to come up with like this theme for an action that was like work is not a crime, because it was about employment income like clawbacks. So they decided to go to the courthouse right on Elgin Street and have like a work is not a crime like rally to, you know, get attention in the press. So that was kind of like, it was more symbolic, right? You know, the courthouse doesn't have anything to do with social assistance rates, but
a good tactic to get press though.
Yeah, good tactic to get press.
Sometimes like secondary target, like kind of unusual ally, like, you know, kind of would play the same role. I mean, you know, an ally you would maybe just ask and they would support your campaign and move it, where a target you might want to put a little bit of pressure, but it's kind of the same idea, right? Like you're just getting someone else to like push for the demands that we want on the target because they have like more power than we do, or like a different leverage point on the target. Like one example is with like Easy Financial. When you look at the investors in it, some, like the one of the teachers' union's pensions fund was like investing in it. So you know, so trying to like target Easy Financial, then, you know, we like sent a letter off to the teachers' pension, just kind of saying, you know, you probably don't really want to be investing in this like super sleazy company. And also we did actions on like I think it was like RBC had like a fair amount of investments in it, and then a couple other investment firms, some in Vancouver, I'm trying to remember, it was National Bank in Ottawa.
Yeah,
do you remember doing that?
Mm-hmm.
Trying to just put pressure on these investment companies to like divest in Easy Financial, because we're like targeting them because of their installment loans.
Right. So another, moving on, I guess, from, you know, targets, but another element of building a campaign as well is developing allies. So, you know, allies can be important for, again, building, you know, our members' power on campaigns. They might add legitimacy to a campaign. They can add financial resources. What are other ways that you think allies can help campaigns?
They help a lot with outreach a lot. So they can do like stuff on social media. They can put do outreach themselves, flyer petitioning, stuff like that.
Even like super basic stuff, like maybe having access to space that they can give us for free.
An ally group may have like an existing relationship with, for instance, a local politician or something that maybe we don't, and so we can kind of use them as like a liaison.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, like in Ottawa, for example, like we couldn't, or we could, we met with this one city councilor, and she was just like, you know, when I met with her with one of our board members, Blaine, she was like super rude to Blaine and would just like cut him off and like didn't want to listen to like the issues and kind of like wrote us off, and then we couldn't get like a follow-up meeting or whatever. However, like one of our union allies from QP 503 had mentioned in passing that she had like a really good relationship with like the city councilor. Not, you know, not that they were like best buds, but that the city councilor like really, really listened to, you know, their union. So she was actually able to help us get a meeting. And then this ally actually like came to the meeting with us and was like, you need to support Acorn's campaign. What are you going to do about it? So that was like very helpful, of course. I mean, allies can also, you know, endorse our campaigns too. So, you know, when you are having like these lobby visits with members and politicians, you can be like, look, it's not just our members who care about this. It's also, you know, this host of other organizations too.
One of my favorite things to get allies to do is, you know, if they're, you know, talking to like Acorn members, like if you have them out at a forum or even in like a smaller meeting, like or like convention was a good example of this, where, and then you get them to like, don't forget to mention that you love Acorn and you love Acorn members, and that, you know, what the Acorn members are doing in their fight for social justice is the most important thing. Because then it kind of validates the organization, right? And it helps the members, like, you know, understand that, like, allies do value the work they're doing, and they actually hear it from the ally directly, because so often allies will talk to staff and be like, oh, you guys are doing a great job, but our members don't hear that from other people. So just if you ever have, like, an ally coming out and talking to Acorn members, you know, prep them, like, you know, like you would prep a member about speaking so that they, you know, help them help themselves, sort of thing, like, because then Acorn members love them, and, you know, it goes well.
Right. And then, of course, you know, Acorn has, like, a bunch of different types of allies, too, right? I mean, unions are a very obvious example of, you know, allies that Acorn has, but, you know, what are other groups that could be allies to Acorn?
Different, like, research groups? Research groups, I don't know, stuff like the Broadbent Institute, that kind of thing.
Tenant Association?
Student, like I was just thinking the student group, like through universities, I don't know, students coming, yes.
Students.
Yeah. Not student union though, but like, yeah, other groups on campus.
Mm-hmm.
Even like members of like city council who can like help us with stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
Always like a coalitions, like Toronto Community Benefits Network is like a network of other organizations.
Right. There's also, you could be like churches or, you know, other religious institutions, right? Like a lot of them have like a grounding in social justice, you know, so I know the minister of the like Centertown United Church, you know, like reached out to us and wanted to do like a forum on housing and was like, I'll give you free space, like we'll provide food, we'll like help with turnout, right? Cool. Any other, you know, kind of unlikely allies or untraditional allies you can think of?
Really, like, weird for us right now, I think, is like exploring allies in like tech, because we're talking about developments in Toronto, like Sidewalk Labs and Google. And I think we're finding we're like on the same wavelength as some organizations that we just like wouldn't ever work with otherwise. Like,
right, like digital privacy,
yeah.
Like bloggers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I guess on the note of bloggers, you know, there's also another element of a campaign is, of course, using the media.
This is the microphone.
Oh, that's the microphone. Great. So yeah, using the media is, you know, super important, of course, because, you know, media coverage is what helps us build pressure in campaigns, right? You know, there's one thing in Target, you know, hates more than, you know, like bad press, right? And, you know, like members, of course, you know, want to see media out at actions, right? What are like different types of, you know, media outlets that we can reach out to, you know, build our campaigns?
Newspapers.
Newspapers, yeah.
Social media.
Social media.
Radio.
Radio.
TV stations.
Mm-hmm.
Newspapers.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And every office has like a press list. So, you know, for Halifax or BC, I'll like just remind me and I'll send it to you. So like there's one that's been developed over time that, you know, you'll want to just keep adding to, but like there's some, you don't have to start from scratch. Yeah. And you have the one from that we built for convention that year.
Yeah.
Has anyone like not done press work yet? Yeah,
I haven't done it before, but not here anymore.
Right, okay. So kind of like building off of what Judy said is like, you know, all of these offices, like we have this list that we've been developing for like years of like different press, like journalists, reporters, editors of their, you know, their cell phones, their office lines, their emails. So it's like anytime, you know, like press actually come out to an action or something, you know, you introduce yourself, you set them up with the right, you know, leader, and you're trying to like get their contact information as well so you can follow up with the story, but it's also that we can like call that person, you know, again. You know, a lot of work actually goes into like calling the press in order to make sure that they actually come out to something. You know, how many hours, Judy, would you say you like put into like calling the press for like an action?
For an action?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, so print, like our philosophy on the press is, you know, kind of much like everything we do. It's not rocket science. You just need to put in a bit of time into doing it, write a press release, you know, and, like I'd say a minimum 1 week out, but if you really want to get like kind of the smaller papers, if they still exist, in your city, to, you know, actually put some time into it, you might want to give them a bit longer. Or if there's some reporters that you know cover a certain beat, then you like, you know, give them 2 weeks. But, you know, so then, I don't know, you're spending like, you know, maybe like, you know, 3 hours in that like 2 weeks out, and then the next week, like, you're probably spending, I don't know, 45 minutes a day sort of thing, like just calling through the list, like print and, you know, online stuff. You can call ahead of time. TV and radio don't really care until the day of, and they usually have like a morning meeting at like 10 that, you know, you want to get your stuff on to into that meeting, and then they decide whether they're going to like send you something. But you can always call like a TV reporter like ahead of time and give them a heads up and try to keep pitching it. But the main thing is just like you're basically phone banking reporters in the morning, telling them about like why this action is going to be like super exciting. And, you know, if it's TV, like talk about some of the visual things that they're going to be able to film, because, you know, they're pretty like crass, right? Like they really like, you know, they want like bugs, they want like holes for like housing issues, and then they're like, they have, you know, they're obnoxious as well, right? Like they want to just like have a token victim. So then you kind of need to make sure that, you know, talk to them about like, well, you know, are you going to mention Acorn? Our members are wanting to talk about the larger campaign, like they don't want to be portrayed like a victim, like, you know what I mean? And like kind of like tell the reporter ahead of time, like what your vision is for the story, and it kind of like pressures them a bit into like maybe mentioning the larger campaign. And then also, like, I always unless it's like a super seasoned leader, like I always make sure I'm there to make sure like the, like, or if it's, if you can hook up a call and do like a three-way if it's like a phone call, but just to make sure that they're not like, you want to know, like you want to help the member out and support them. And the press can be like pretty, like they'll just ask what they want. Like they've, you know, I remember at one point they said to one of our members, you know, so what does it feel like to be the poster child poor person for Toronto? And our leader was like, you know, you can't print my name, like, you've just made me feel like a total loser, like, you know, like, you're not printing this story. And, you know, the person, like, may or may not have quit Acorn at that point, too. Like, it was, like, total damage control. It was just, like, that was, like, so offensive. Why would you say that to a person, right? Like, our members are, like, fighting, you know, because there's, like, problems and injustice. It's, like, they're not a token, like, poor person. So you kind of want to be around to make sure that that doesn't happen. So, mm-hmm. yeah, but it's, you know, I don't know, what do you, like, how many hours do you put into, like, a campaign action?
Yeah, so, I mean, well, I think you're right, like, a week out, for sure, start calling people, yeah, like, 3 hours, and then it's, like, I might call them, like, 2 days afterwards, take, like, another, like, 2 hours, day before I call them, 2 hours, morning of, I'm, like, calling them from, for another, like, 2 hours right before, like, the action, and it's, like, you know, people, the press is always, like, a maybe, right, you know, even if the press is, like, oh, you know, sounds yeah. interesting, right, you know, another story pops up, like, the day of or something, so, you know, just being on them, because it's, like, we are kind of competing for press, right, especially as, you know, papers close, local media's mm-hmm. close, right? There's a lot out there. So being on the phones with them is really important. You know, sending out the press release like as many times as possible as well. I just like change the subject line a bunch of times. I'll send it from my personal email sometimes instead of my work email so it catches them off guard. Hmm. Yeah, those are other tactics that I use with the press. Anyone have any questions around? Yeah.
Do we use
newswire
services for press releases?
We use the OFLs.
Yeah.
But we find we don't really get that much pickup off of it.
No.
Not really. Like, sometimes we do. Like, sometimes we'll, like, if, you know, if we're doing, like, a National Day of Action and then we're getting, like, press and, like, you know, like, the cities where we're doing actions and then the newswire might pick it up and then we'll get that story in other places. Yeah. But generally, like, not a lot of, we don't, it doesn't generate that much actual media.
So like, where do you normally send the press releases then?
So we have each city, like Toronto will have a list,
yeah.
and then you'll like, you just like, it's like,
put it on the main list for Toronto?
Yeah, you just like pull that out and like put it in the, like, I put the, all the emails in the BCC, you know, whatever tab, and then I send it out, and then I just phone them, and they call the news desks, and they're like, oh, I didn't get it, can you resend it? And then you resend it, and then, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You can also, too, you can, like, follow up with the press, like, if they didn't come out to the action or something, you know, I might, like, call or email them, like, send them, like, you know, ask them if they would, like, do, like, a follow-up interview with one of our leaders, send them, like, a small, like, write-up and, like, a photo from, like, the action. You might be able to contact kind of, like, progressive, like, alternative media sources online, like, oh my god, I can't think of the Rabble?
Yeah.
Like,
they'll like that. Rabble will cover anything. Oh my god, we should get them out to the Saturday thing. Who's doing the press on that, John?
John.
Yeah. Okay, I'll mention to him if he hasn't called them.
Mm-hmm.
Acorn International Radio Station, and you know, do like do a radio show. I mean, you might be too busy, but like, see if John like will get somebody to do the radio show of the action. Maybe he'll do it.
Yeah.
What was that,
was
Rachel?
Like, record the speeches.
Record the speeches. That's a great idea. Awesome. Okay, so I guess moving on from press, you know, also around defining goals. So is this mainly referring to, like, defining demands, or what do you think, Judy?
Yeah, like,
I think it's just about making sure that, like, goals or demands are tangible, you know, by the sounds of it. You know, something that we can actually win, you know, also going after more than one thing. So I think we were talking about earlier, you know, in places like Hamilton where you're going through an organizing drive, like you can have like this smorgasbord of like items that you want to fight for, creating like a platform, right? So go to targets with like a host of issues. Oh my god, there's a spider. Judy, thoughts on like defining goals?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of just back to like choosing the demands, right? Like, how do you pick something to start with? So,
right.
You know, the pick something that's winnable.
Mm-hmm.
I am immediately reminded of how we are kind of
or sorry, I shouldn't say kind of, we are right now trying to define what affordable housing means in Ontario, because the government doesn't really have a solid definition as far as I understand, and it's like, does affordable housing mean, you know, $1 less than market rate rent, or does it mean that it's almost free, or what? And you have to be very careful with that, because you can technically win a campaign for affordable housing, but it, you know, if it's what the developer considers affordable, but we haven't specified, then, you know, the devil's in the details, right?
Well, I think that, like, the City of Toronto has a definition, and it's $1 below market rent. I think they came up with that last year.
It is just that?
Yeah. Wow. And then provincially, they have a definition as well, which I think is a little bit better. But, like, yeah, the definitions are terrible. Yeah, yeah.
Who comes up with that?
Yeah.
No one who's actually renting. No one from our neighborhood says that. Okay, so next element would be choosing the tactics. So general rule in planning a campaign is to choose tactics that are appropriate, both the target and the group, right? So also, you know, for example, making sure that you can, like, choose tactics that, you know, if you don't like the initial response that you get, that can, like, escalate the campaign, so you're, like, increasing pressure. Maybe, like, Judy, since you have such a wealth of knowledge, you can talk about some, you know, creative tactics that, you know, Acorn members have used in the past, put pressure on targets.
Yeah, creative ways to put pressure on targets. I mean, I can think of creative, I'm thinking of creative actions right now, like we did, like, a rope squad act, like the elevators were broken in an apartment building, and so it was more of a tactic to get the press out, but we, like pulled the groceries up the outside of a building just so that it was, like, visual, and that the, you know, then it was made a good picture in the press and, like, sounded good, although it was kind of dangerous, and we just, because we were worried it was gonna break.
That's amazing and hilarious.
Yeah, the you know, all the cockroach stuff is a good, like, you know, tactic of, like, you know, getting the media in to put pressure on the, like, corporate landlords.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, can you think of anyone else can think of other tactics?
I have some, like, creative stuff, but, like, not necessarily Acorn stuff, just more general.
Yeah, now let's hear it. Loudly.
When I used to be involved with the BLMTO, that's Black Lives Matter Toronto, we had this, like, 3-week occupation of a Toronto Police Headquarters, where we just, like, had a big tent city outside the headquarters and stuff. One of the things, one of our demands for our occupation was we wanted the premier to come and meet with us, but she wasn't really saying anything. When the reporters asked her questions about it, she didn't really say much. So what we did halfway through the occupation was we went in the middle of the night to her house, and we dropped off a gift basket of an empty bottle of wine and some cheese and an invitation card saying you should come over to tent city and talk to us. The next day, that exploded in the press. The police came, like the chemical hazardous unit, all that kind of stuff. They were all there. The terrorism squad was there. They were like, "Oh my God, these, like, people are, like, trying to take over the premier's house." We're like, "No, it's just the invitation, yeah. You know." That worked really well in terms of, like, pressuring, putting pressure on the provincial government, and the premier did end up coming out to meet with us and talk to us. So that's one of the really creative tactics that, like, I always talk about all the time, you know. So.
Yeah. That's a good one. One we did on the minimum wage back in the day when it was, we were doing the 14-an-hour campaign, is on Thanksgiving. We were trying to get a meeting with the premier, and we went to her office and had a turkey burger because we were like, well, we can't afford real turkey, so we, like, brought a turkey burger for the premier, and we had a turkey burger, like, Thanksgiving dinner outside her office.
Yeah, that reminds me of a disability action that Ottawa members did outside the Ministry of Social Services. We had, like, a poverty picnic, you know, cause social assistance rates are putting people in poverty. So members brought empty plates, empty bowls, and we brought, like, a picnic basket and just set up and had a picnic with no food outside of the ministry's office. That was interesting. Members like that one.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that we think about is, you know, our members are often, you know, a lot of them are seniors, and, you know, so it's, you know, and our organizers tend to be younger and, like, you know, more aggressive than our leaders. So that's why, like, we let our leaders kind of help work out, like, the tactics of, like, what we're going to do, because we don't want it to be, like, organizer-led, and then our members are, like, kind of, like, running in the other direction, being like, I don't want to do that.
So in this document that's in front of us here, it says tactics should escalate as the campaign progresses, which is, you know, fairly intuitive. Do you think it's a big concern to, like, maybe, like, if you do something that's too big or dramatic, like, sort of at the beginning, like, before you've built proper momentum? Is that worth worrying about?
I mean, I think that, you know, ideally you want to, like, escalate the tactics, but, you know, if you come out the gates with, like, a really big and successful action, I you know, it's hard to say that's a problem, right?
Fair enough.
Yeah. But, you know, we try to think of campaigns in, like, you know, 6 months sort of time periods, so that, you know, I mean, whatever, with the landlord licensing campaign that went on for 14 years, you know, we constantly were, like, kind of reinventing it, or, you know, or whatever. At one point during the Rob Ford years, we kind of, like, took a bit of a break for a while, you know, and then we came back to it and, like, relaunched it. But, you know, you have to kind of, like, you know, mix it up and, like, you know, plan, like, a time period that you're planning for, and then, you know, plan out a series of events, and ideally they're escalating. But then, you know, I think that if you something, like, you do a really big action at the beginning of something, I think that's also good to, like, you know, continue build momentum and put the pressure on the target, for sure.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that kind of covers, like, setting a timetable, maybe, like, moving into action. I mean, I think just, you know, like, during that timetable that you're setting for your, that you and the group are setting, you know, making sure that you are kind of having fairly consistent actions, for sure. Otherwise, the campaign's kind of dying. You need to keep the pressure up. And then I guess, you know, as well, an element of a campaign is actually being able to negotiate a win, right? You know, in an ideal world, we would be able to win everything on our members' wish lists, of course, but that's not always realistic. So being able to kind of have, like, a frank conversation with your leaders is just like, okay, like, what are we willing to maybe give up so that we can get this? Right, so we can win something. I mean, so for example, when we were first developing the, like, municipal landlord licensing campaign, like, in Ottawa, you know, we were meeting with city councilors, and their question was constantly just like, okay, but, you know, like, what landlords would landlord licensing apply to? You know, and our members, of course, initially were just like, well, it's going to apply to every, you know, single landlord in this goddamn city. And then they just totally wrote us off, and they're like, yeah, no way is that ever going to happen. Like, won't listen to anything that we have to say after that. So, you know, then kind of taking that back to the board and being like, okay, you know, what would be, so we can move this campaign forward, you know, what would be a reasonable, like, number? And they were able to decide on, you know, any landlord with 3 units or more, for example, so we could continue on with the campaign.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know, or like our payday lending campaign, you know, when we first started it, and then we won payday lending legislation. I mean, we framed that as a victory. That was like a win, but, like, you know, we're, it's not like the campaign's over. Like, there was so much more that we wanted to work on, and that, you know, we were going to be taking step forward, trying to, like, you know, lower the interest rate. And, you know, we've had victories in that campaign as we move forward. We didn't frame that as, like, we don't, like, this piece of legislation is horrible, and, you know, like, you know, we're, like, angry about this, and, like, you know what I mean? Like, we didn't frame it as a loss. We framed it as a win because our members had fought and we did win it. It was a big mm-hmm. step, but, you know, it wasn't perfect, right? So it's kind of, like, you want to kind of, like, take what you win and make sure that the members know that, like, their efforts have, like, resulted in change, because often I feel like the targets, like, they'll do changes that we suggest and then they won't tell us. Right? Because they don't want us to know that, like, our efforts actually, like, yielded something. And so, you know, they may make those changes. Like working in an apartment building is a classic example, right? Like, you'll be door knocking, the building's really bad, the landlord catches wind that you might, like, that you're maybe gonna do an action, and then they'll quickly do repairs. And they'll be like, oh no, we're gonna do those repairs anyway. You know what I mean? And it'll kind of like try to like, you know, stop the press from coming out and like showing like the bad, like the like kind of the external easy stuff to like point to that's like a problem. And you know, they'll never say to the members, oh, well, you guys were organizing, so that's why we did that, right? Like, they're just like business as usual. Of course we were gonna do that. So, you know, it's always important, I think, when we win stuff to be like, you know, to frame it as a win, because our members need to know that like our like efforts are paying off, and that's why we need to keep fighting for like more and bigger things, sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I think also being able to, you know, like look at other victories too of campaigns, you know, sure, it's like obviously like winning a campaign or like making a really important first step is like amazing and awesome, but there are also like other victories, you know, within community organizing, such as, you know, like I think a victory of the childcare campaign is being able to bring in like new leaders, for example, you know, a lot of more of like our working moms, for example, being able to engage new leaders is totally a victory. You know, maybe signing up like a ton of members like around like a certain campaign is a victory. Opening up a new chapter, that's a victory, right? Being positive and like, you know, translating that back to our members, I think is important.
All right, well, all right. That's the end of this session. So thanks for listening to Acorn Canada Radio, where radio meets justice.